Hi everybody, this is Russ with the Emerald City Video Podcast. And just like Dave did earlier today on audio, I wanted to put a video out in there in the world talking about my seven favorite films, because there's been this hashtag that's been going for like 2 days now. Now it's starting to mutate and head towards directors and TV shows and all kinds of things, but for the sake of our movie podcast, I thought it would be cool to have at least a couple of our co-hosts chime in and say, here are my seven favorite films on the record as something that could be, you know, content for the podcast. Mine are, like many movie fans and like many people you know, they're a movie target. I actually tweeted out right when this first started, like first thing in the morning yesterday, when the first time I saw this, I tweeted out a list of seven movies, and I think four of those are going to be here in this one. But as soon as other people started saying, oh, here's my list, here's my list, here's my list, things started to move and shift, and so I'm going to do seven. I'm going to stick to the rules of the game. I'm using a lot of air quotes tonight. I guess it's because it's like midnight. But I'm going to stick to the rules of the game, but I'm not going to say like, oh yeah, this is a definitive list of anything. This is my seven favorite films right this very minute now. And it's a pretty good indicator of what my tastes are, but it's definitely not the best, you know. And again, even in my brain, this is not the best. These are my favorites. Like Dave did, I'm going to give a little commentary. This video is going to run a little bit on the long side, considering that most of my videos are like 2 to 5 minutes, because that's basically the attention span that Facebook people have. But this is going to go up on YouTube too, so what the hell. First up, and these are in no particular order, although when I was in college, this was my favorite movie for like years. First up is Fight Club. In 1999 was a crazy good year for movies. I mean, you had things like Man on the Moon, you had things like American Beauty, which Dave talked about in his little podcast. I dug both of those a lot. If this was 1999, they would probably make the list. Magnolia would make the list. And, you know, for the couple of years after 1999, you looked back at that and you're just like, holy crap, like, as a young person who was really into movies, like, there were all of these movies that basically just totally redefined how I feel about film. And Fight Club was absolutely one of those. You know, this is a film, I've heard a criticism before that, you know, once you know the twist, it's not the same movie. That's absolutely not true for me. I've probably seen this movie literally 200 times. We used to, there were like, in the paper, there was like a cardboard box set to like Ultimate Edition of Fight Club. And it wasn't Ultimate Edition like Batman v Superman, where it was a different cut. But it had lots and lots of bonus features. It had this little booklet in there called How to Start a Fight, which was all their bad reviews. And it had, I think, three or four different commentary tracks. There was one by the writer Jim Ooles. There was one by the director. And there was one with Chuck Palahniuk. And I think there was like a big gang commentary where there was like nine people on it. And I remember that my buddies who I lived with at the time, including Zach, who's one of our co-hosts, used to literally just play that basically on a loop. Like, the DVD would just run on a TV show in the trailer where we lived, or on our TV, excuse me, in the trailer where we lived, and it would just be like, the movie's over, let's just try the next commentary, for weeks, a whole semester maybe. We used to have a cardboard standee from a video store, not from Emerald City, because I wasn't working there yet, but we used to have a cardboard standee from the video store, this big, like, 6-foot thing, you know, advertising Fight Club. And when I interviewed Chuck Palahniuk, I told him about that, and he told me I shouldn't have thrown it out, because apparently those are worth a lot of money now on the internet. But anyway, Fight Club is beautifully shot. I mean, nobody can question Fincher's credentials as a cinematographer. He's not actually a cinematographer, but you know what I'm saying? It's midnight. Well, 11, as you heard. But, you know, Fincher is a fantastic director, and this is a beautifully shot movie. One of the problems that Fight Club had is a problem that I think is fairly common to a lot of my favorite films, which is they're advertised in the wrong way. In the same way that Hudson Hawk is not at all the big, bombastic action movie that people wanted it to be, neither was Fight Club, and Fight Club was really advertised that way. And so a lot of people went into Fight Club expecting a very different movie than this weird kind of anti-consumerist, twisty, gross, gritty thing that it was. And I watched it and I ate it up. I mean, I was on the way there, I stopped at a Blockbuster to get some candy for the theater, and the guy at Blockbuster totally blew the ending for me. Didn't matter. Adored it. Adored it. I still love that movie to this day. It's the kind of movie I can put in and just watch. In fact, pretty much all of these, like I, the kind of person that I am, I mean, Dave has all these really highfalutin movies on his list, and God bless him, because I really dig those movies, but I can't put them on my favorites. Because for me, a favorite movie has to be something I can like basically stick on for background noise or engage with. And I feel like a lot of like cinema, I can't ignore it. Like, I have to engage with it. And so I can't watch it that often. The movies on this list are basically things that's like, oh, I could watch this a million times. Next up is Clerks. Clerks is Kevin Smith's debut feature. It's basically about a couple of slackers, including a guy who works at a video store, who have a really bad day. And that's a super simplistic way to say it, but that's basically the plot. Like, this dude gets called into work at the convenience store. It's supposed to be his day off. Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. They end up violating a corpse. It's this weird little movie that was made for like 36 grand. It went on to make millions of dollars and launch Kevin Smith's career. Smith is a favorite of mine. If you go to thecomicbook.com YouTube account, you'll see that I've interviewed him a couple times on video, and I talked to him about his episode of The Flash. I'm sure I'll do that again this coming year. I love almost all of his work, and even the stuff that I don't love, I really dig it and I respect it, and I this is a dude I would like to see succeed. And Clerks as his debut feature, not only like I love all four of his original movies so much I could just watch them into infinity. Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, and Dogma. But Clerks in particular, because it's the first one, and because it kind of lays the groundwork for this crazy shared universe that he does in a way that, like, I mean, nobody did shared universes back then. That wasn't a thing until Marvel started making billions of dollars. But Clerks lays the groundwork for it beautifully. Next up is Zero Effect. You guys, if you've listened to the podcast before, you've probably heard somebody mention Zero Effect. I think that in the last episode alone, Zach mentioned it during our Suicide Squad talk, and then I mentioned it to Josh Fialkov when we were talking about Josh Steinberger, Champion of Earth. You'll have to excuse the sound over there. There's a deaf bulldog, and apparently it's shaking all the hair off of itself. Anyhow, Zero Effect is essentially a modern-day Sherlock Holmes, but in a lot of cases, and it's funny because now you've got Sherlock and you've got Elementary, and they really are adaptations that are starting to play up. What a douche Sherlock Holmes was in those books. And that's something that was kind of unique at the time when Zero Effect came out. Like, it was essentially Holmes. He doesn't call himself that, but it's the same idea. And in the course of the movie, your point of view character really is Ben Stiller's character, who plays essentially Watson. He's this put-upon guy who's basically always 5 seconds away from quitting his job. The main character, or the nominal main character, the title character, Daryl Zero, is Bill Pullman, who's just fantastic in the role. Bill Pullman can play crazy like nobody's business. This and then Igby Goes Down, which is another movie, like if I had to make a top 25, that'd absolutely be on it. Without spoiling too much, the chemistry between the three main leads is just amazing. Kim Dickens, who's now on Fear the Walking Dead, is just stone cold gorgeous in this movie. She's fantastic at what she does. I don't want to say anything more. Absolutely go get this. If it tells you anything, this is the movie that when I was at Emerald City Video and we had the 5 for $5 where you get VHS tape and then later DVDs, where it's either rent one, get one free, or you can get 5 for $5 for 5 days. I recommended Zero Effect so much and people took me up on it and we ended up having to buy extra copies. And then at the end of a year, it showed up on our like top 100 rentals for the year because everybody was renting Zero Effect, in spite of the fact that it was this weird little movie that at that point was like 5, almost 10 years old that didn't make that much in the theaters. You know, there was actually a really great, in 2008, there was a really great retrospective on its 10th anniversary on the internet. And I'll have to see if I can find that and link to it. I always say I'm going to link to stuff in the show notes. I never, ever do. But I'll try to remember. For me, next up, Rocky. Rocky to me is, and I'm not a huge fan of sports films in general, but Rocky to me is much, much more than a sports film, and it's my standard for this kind of film. I'm not a huge fan of like feel-good tearjerker kind of movies. I'm not a huge fan of sports movies. Rocky just totally shatters that. It is absolutely, it's one of my favorite films of all time. It's probably the movie that still gets the best emotional reaction out of me every single time I watch it. One of the highlights of my career, no joke, one of the highlights of my career was that last year I went to the press junket for Creed. And I was there, I got to interview Ryan Coogler, who directed the film, and and the cast and a couple of the producers, and we spoke with Sly Stallone, not a one-on-one, but I talked to him at a press conference, and it's like, talking to Sylvester Stallone about Rocky is one of those things where you're just kind of sitting here going, yeah, as an entertainment reporter, that's a bucket list item, I can check that off. Absolutely, I mean, I feel like Rocky's a film, everything that can be said about it has already been said, and I really don't want to spoil a lot of stuff on here, because the idea of this list is that you must see these films, according to me, right? So, like, why do I want to spoil them? If you're seeing changes in lighting, by the way, it's because my notes just fell asleep on the computer, and I had to wake it back up. So, next up is Gross Point Blank. Gross Point Blank is my favorite John Cusack movie, and John Cusack is one of my favorite comic actors. It's really too bad that he's gone so dramatic in the recent past. I love movies where he can kind of strike a balance. I think that Gross Point Blank, he does some great drama stuff, but there's a lot of really good comedy in there. There's a movie called War Inc., which is kind of a spiritual sequel to Gross Point Blank. It's nowhere near as good, but it's a really solid movie, and his performance in it is just lights out. So if you've already seen Gross Point Blank, you dig it, you say, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about, go see War Inc. It's a weird, weird movie, but if you dig Gross Point Blank, you should enjoy it. And it gave me the idea that when I have sinus problems, I should pound shot glasses full of hot sauce. So there's that. Gross Point Blank, though, it's basically about a hitman who goes to his high school reunion. And he hasn't seen anybody in town, including the love of his life, in 10 years. And, you know, he bolted, I think, the day before graduation or something, or prom night. Prom night, that's what it was. And so it's him, like, reconnecting with this person at the same time that he's having, like, a crisis of conscience and deciding that he doesn't really want to kill people for a living anymore. So it's a really interesting film. When I wrote a book when I was in college, started a creative writing class, and it kind of evolved and evolved and evolved and became a book. And one of the characters in there was hugely influenced by Martin Blank, the main character of Gross Point Blank. I love characters that are kind of not morally neat, because even in the course of this film, as he's decided, like, killing people is wrong and I'm not going to do it, he has a line where he says, I'm not going to kill anybody else. Except there's this dude who's trying to kill me. If I see that guy, I'm going to kill him, absolutely. So it's one of my favorite films. The whole list is one of my favorite films of all time. What's the point of that? Gross Point Blank. And I'm staying slavish to this list. I'm going to change the last one, and I'll explain why. And I got a good replacement. Next up is UHF. UHF was Weird Al Yankovic's film. And very much like a Weird Al Yankovic album from the 80s, it was a parody of all things pop culture at the time. You know, it starts out and he's this loser kind of working at a burger joint who gets a job offer to run a small television station for his uncle. And so you see this kind of, in the middle of it, there's like almost a montage of like Conan the Librarian and Gandhi 2, where he's a gun-toting, revenge-seeking vigilante, and you know, there's a music video to the tune of, it's Weird Al's Beverly Hillbillies remix, which is a parody of a song that I can't remember now. I want my MTV. Yeah, it's gone. Money for nothing. But a really, really fun movie. The cast is crazy. A lot of these people are now over the hill. And so it's weird because, like, when we were talking about Dazed and Confused in an episode that you haven't seen yet, and we were talking about how you watch that movie and you're like, holy cow, everybody in this movie is huge later. That was true for UHF like 5 years ago. It's like Fran Drescher was in the movie, Michael Richards is in the movie, and this is before they were famous, so you don't know who the hell they are when you're watching it, but then you watch it years later and you're like, holy cow, hey, look, it's the nanny and it's Kramer. And now, of course, nobody remembers who those people are, but but I do, because they were in UHF, and UHF is amazingly funny. It's not a great film, but it is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life, and that goes a long way for me. Which is why, taking up number 7 on the list, I'm going to give it to Guardians of the Galaxy. Originally, it was Josie and the Pussycats on my tweet. It's not that I don't love Josie and the Pussycats. You know, if you listen to this podcast, that I love Josie and the Pussycats, because that was our first episode, and all of us love Josie and the Pussycats. It's just a weird, irreverent, crazy-ass movie. Because I talked about it for an hour and a half with four other guys, I really don't feel like you need to hear me advocate for that film anymore. So even though I advocated for it on Twitter, and I'm going to mention it here, I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy. Why? I'm a comic book guy, and I'm a weird comic book guy. I don't love comic book movies all the time. I don't love them unconditionally. I mean, you saw, if you listen regularly, if you watch these videos, you know I didn't like Captain America Civil War at all. You know that I had my issues with Suicide Squad. I enjoyed it, but it was not a good movie. Like, objectively, just not a good movie. So you can count, like, the things that I would put in my top, like, 50 that are comic book movies, you can count them on one hand, probably. And so with Josie and the Pussycats, it was kind of like, it was almost my art movie choice, which kind of falls off and disappears into oblivion because I've decided instead I'm going to go with Guardians, which is super, super mainstream. But Guardians of the Galaxy is like a flawless film. And I remember thinking when I was in college that Fight Club was a flawless film. And I haven't gone back and picked it apart and tried to find flaw. But a lot of the movies on this list are not flawless. I mean, Rocky, I think, is pretty much flawless. But Clerks, Zero Effect, Gross Point Blank, UHF, these are movies that are imperfect, but they're wonderful to me. I love them. Guardians of the Galaxy, man, that movie is just, it's so close to perfect, it's scary. And it absolutely brought back my faith in kind of Marvel Studios and in superhero movies as a genre. And so I really, if I'm going to mention a comic book movie and it's not going to be Josie and the Pussycats, it was going to be either Dread, which is probably my favorite, like, straight-up action film of all time, and a fantastic adaptation of Judge Dredd comics. So, again, check that out. And I know I'm cheating by inserting little things into here, but hey, that's the point of kind of coming in here and doing a video instead of just limiting it to the hashtag. But if I was going to do a comic book movie that wasn't Josie and the Pussycats, it was going to be either Dread or Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn was a dude I hadn't really watched anything he directed. I'm not a huge fan of horror. I enjoy Troma for what Troma is, but I hadn't watched Romeo and Juliet since my days working at Emerald City Video, so I couldn't really remember much of it. Slither was all right, but it wasn't really my thing. And Super kind of fell into that trap of, I thought it was just a comic book movie, and so I ignored it, and so later on I had to come back and decide how much I liked it. But when Guardians came out, I had no idea what to expect from this dude, and he had said some stupid things on his blog that kind of had me going in against him, so to speak. Not against, but like I kind of assumed he was this kind of dumb frat boy guy, and I was not 100% sold that the movie was going to be as good as it was. But I mean, every performance in this film is just note fucking perfect. The set design is gorgeous. The soundtrack, I mean, you don't need to be told that the soundtrack is perfect, because it was the number one, I think it's like the best-selling soundtrack ever that didn't have an original song created for the movie. And, I mean, deservedly so. It's a great, great compilation. You know, using the mixtape as a narrative device allowed him to really do some cool stuff with the music. And he absolutely, you can see from Suicide Squad, that he absolutely reshaped, and to a lesser extent from Deadpool, which I also really dug, but that James Gunn reshaped the cinema's perception of what a superhero soundtrack has to sound like. I mean, even when you look at like the Batman Forever and Batman and Robin soundtracks, which are terrible movies but good soundtracks, like, they had pop songs on there, but they were contemporary pop songs, they were original pop songs, and they were by and large a third of the total soundtrack, and the rest of it was orchestral or score or whatever. James Gunn totally reshaped how we think about the superhero soundtrack, and that's no small feat, because basically the last person to really redefine that was probably John Williams and Superman in 1978. You can make an argument that it was Danny Elfman in 1989 and Batman with Prince. But honestly, that was the dog again. Not me. But honestly, I think that Elfman was really kind of the next logical evolutionary step of Williams and not so much a total redefinition. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is if you're gonna say, okay, I want a good superhero movie to watch, that's my pick. Like, I can recommend that to just about anybody. I got like DVD copies or Blu-ray copies for Christmas the year that it came out, which I think was last year, maybe the year before, for my father, who does not watch this kind of thing. And he and his wife both adored it. Every time I go visit them, they're like, so when's the Guardians sequel coming out? When's that gonna happen? You know, I got one for my ex-girlfriend and her husband because they said that they hadn't watched it yet. They didn't plan on watching it. And I was like, oh, yes, you do. And so, like, I sent that to them. Hi, beer babe. Again, like, it's a weird choice to round out my list because the original choice was kind of clever and subversive and artsy. But in its own way, even though it's super commercial, Guardians of the Galaxy is clever and subversive and artsy. And I feel like I've given the seventh movie on the list that almost wasn't there way more time than the others, and that's probably just to help justify the fact that I made a swap for the purpose of this video. But I mean, if I had to narrow it down to one or two things and just say, like, oh, you want to do a rent one, get one free at the video store tonight, Guardians would absolutely be one of those. Depending on who you were, what you were looking for, anything on this list might make it. But Guardians would probably, if the video store, if Emerald City Video still existed, or if I was working at like one of the 800 family videos that are out there now, then, and I was making recommendations to people on the regular, I think Guardians would be right up there with Zero Effect in terms of like my standby, like everyday recommendation, because it's just a fucking brilliant film. It's a great superhero movie. It's a great adventure movie. It's a great sci-fi movie. It's got tropes and elements and things from all kinds of different genres, and they were expertly blended with some fantastic performances, an amazing soundtrack, beautiful effects, and a story that is frankly better than any single Guardians of the Galaxy story from the comics ever told. And I don't think that I can think of any superhero movie or you know, mainstream comics adaptation that I can say this is better than any one story featuring X ever done. I mean, maybe Josie and the Pussycats or maybe Dredd, but definitely not Dredd, because I can think of a couple great Dredd stories. So maybe Josie and the Pussycats, but that's because Archie is speaking to a totally different audience with their comics than they are with the movie. And the Josie and the Pussycats comic that's coming out starting in, I want to say, October, I'm doing an interview this week with the writers, it might very well kind of take some cues from this film because it's new Riverdale. You know, anybody who doesn't read comics, Archie has rebooted, and they have a new kind of hipper, sleeker, less cartoony version of Archie and Jughead and some of these other classic books. Josie and the Pussycats number one's coming out soon, and that book looks really good. That's a real tangent. Anyway, point being, Guardians of the Galaxy might be the only comic book movie outside of maybe Josie and the Pussycats ever where the story in that movie is better than any single story ever told with those characters in the comics, and that's incredible to me. Because that's mind-boggling, because you have decades of comics, you have some amazing underrated talent working in comics all the time. I mean, I can give you 50 good Superman stories, I can give you 50 good Batman stories, and usually I can tell you like at least 10 that are more narratively satisfying than like any one specific film. But in the case of Guardians, I sit there and I'm like, yeah, easily, this is the best Guardians of the Galaxy story ever told. Cannot wait for the sequel. So that's my favorite seven films. Like I said, you ask me tomorrow, it'll be a little different. That's the same thing Dave said. That's the same thing a lot of people are saying online. It's fair. But I think that at this point, like, I'm looking at this list and it's like, other than maybe I might be able to bump UHF and replace it with like Say Anything or Better Off Dead or something like that. But like, those are the same kind of movies. So at this point, I'm sitting here looking at it going like, man, five of these seven are just set in stone. And then six and seven are kind of contingent on what the conversation's about. But check them out. I hope you enjoy them. Thanks so much for watching, and there will be a new Emerald City Video Podcast in the next day or so, Friday at the latest, because on Saturday, we are recording live. We're going to do Deadpool and the Punisher, not the Thomas Jane Punisher, not the awesome Lexi Alexander Punisher Warzone that everybody hates for no good reason. No, we're doing the Dolph Lundgren 1988 Punisher. You're going to be surprised how much I enjoy going through that film. But Dave, Logan, possibly Dan, possibly Zach, and I are all going to go over to Logan's house. We're going to watch movies. We're going to drink. We're going to record the whole thing. This might be a 3.5-hour podcast, but hey, what the hell? Going to be good movies. Going to be a lot of fun. In any event, thank you for watching. Subscribe, whatever you do. Talk to you soon.